Welcome to The Grow Show, where we speak with leading business experts to help you grow yourself, grow your business, and grow your community. Now, here's your host, Gary Jones.
Hey, folks, how are you doing today? Now, today I have got a very special guest, and she's a very special guest because I don't know much about her. I know she's been a champion. I know she comments a hell of a lot on Facebook, but I don't know much about her background, her journey, and lessons I learned. However, when I spoke to her a few days ago, I had to get on the show and wanted her to tell her story. So, Jessica Fleischer, how are you doing today?
Hello, everybody. I'm good, thank you. Thank you for inviting me on. And yeah, somebody, your name came up in a circle in the many comments on social media that I make. I do like connecting with people. I love networking. And it was about podcasting. So I've got a podcast myself. And like with anything in life, I didn't know how to begin, but I just had to jump straight in. And who am I? I am Jess, aka the Kickboxing Queen. I am a 2x English kickboxing champion, and I'm actually the current champion in both weight categories, the under 56 kilo and the under 53.5. Unless you're listening to this back at some point way in the future, then I don't know. But I am a 2x English kickboxing champion and a second degree black belt, the founder of I Am Fighting Fit. That's who I am.
This is why I wanted to get you on the show. You're a champion. And there's so much stuff we can kind of dissect and talk about. And first of all, we're recording this in February 2021. So obviously, if you listen to it, as Jess said, in the future, then she might not be. She might be Olympic champion. We have no freaking idea. We don't know.
Being a champion is more than holding a title belt. I've actually got a question for you, if you don't mind asking, because I'm working on my branding. What does being a champion mean to you, Gary?
Being a champion means inspiring other people. It means being the kind of top of your game compared to your peers. It's about supporting the community around you. They're the three that come to mind straight away. I'm going to have to think about other things.
I love that. I love the community because community is at the heart of everything I do. And I think that's especially important with the black belt as well. So I'm not just a fighter, I'm also a black belt. We are based upon respect, community, development, leadership. And with regards to what you said about beating the opposition, and that was my definition that I came up with. It's a winner who beats the other winners.
Yeah.
So you don't end up in a situation where you even have the opportunity to become a champion unless you've already got the mindset of a winner. So I've been looking in into market research and branding, and there's all these experts, gurus, high performance coaches. It's like, says who? Everyone can go, I'm the best in the world, I'm the number one motivational speaker. And it's like, says who? Are you a champion? And do you want to be a champion? So that's kind of who I am and what I do. I help coach people to become champions.
I love it. And let's talk a bit about your journey, because this is fascinating. And I love reading about kind of, especially in the sporting arena, high performance individuals who really go that extra mile and dedicate their lives to a particular skill or topic or activity, and they go above everybody else. So let's talk about your journey, because were you born a champion? Were you born with this mindset, or did you kind of grow into it?
It's a very interesting question, and I absolutely would have said previously that no way was I born a champion. I do now believe that my life experiences taught me many of the skills that allowed me to become a champion. But I was born, I grew up with both of my parents addicted to heroin and becoming alcoholics later in life. I was fairly academic at school. I'm very grateful. I had good friends. I went to a good school. But the pressure got too much. I ended up with social anxiety. I dropped out of school. I have no qualifications. I felt like a massive failure because that was supposed to be my key to success. And in reflection, I had that work ethic that I dedicated to studying until the pressure came too much. So I know what it's like to be the winner who doesn't quite make it to becoming a champion, because that was that moment in my life where I was so close to getting those A stars, going to university, whatever that journey would have been, and it became too much. So then I started working in pubs, hard working, went traveling a bit, but I found kickboxing along the way. So at the age of 19, I was absolutely useless. I couldn't even do one press up. I was so nervous. It was unbelievable. I was shaking before I walked through the dojo doors. And I never even imagined I would fight. I struggled to spar, but luckily I went to, well, I say luckily, it was tough, but I went to I was the only female. So I went to a tough club and they were like, nope, you're not doing female press ups. You're doing them on your toes. Nope, you're not sparring because you're a girl. You're punching us in the face. Get involved now and get on with it. So I did. And I have that resilience. I don't give up. And taking those small actions. So my first win was walking through the door. My second win was learning to do a press up. And then I had a lot of losses in the ring. So I lost my first five fights before I even got a win. Then I had another couple of losses. Then I started to think, okay, this is it. This is the bottom. My last loss was horrendous. I've written a blog about it. The video's there, everything. You can see what I mean. It absolutely, she was like a machine. She didn't back down and she knew she was going to win. She was only 17 and she had this confidence as well as this ability. And it's what happens when two people who are not willing to lose fight. There's a loser. What happened was she put me on the back foot straight away because she flew at me the second that bell went. And you can almost see it now that I just went, oh crap, this is gonna suck. But I fought back, but I lost. And then after that, I started winning and I became a champion. So,
and it's fascinating. You used work ethic, you weren't use hard work all the way through that. And from what you've just said, you can take so many kind of lessons for life and lessons for business. But what made you kind of step foot in that dojo at the age of 19?
There was a part of me that liked the idea of kickboxing. I actually liked the idea of kickboxing at about 15. My cousins did karate and I used to go there. It was a local leisure centre and I'd watch them and it didn't really appeal to me. I didn't want to do karate. It looked boring. But while they were changing out of their gis and everything, I'd watch the kickboxing class getting started. Yeah. And I was like, that's really cool. I want to be able to do that. I don't know why I thought kickboxing was cool, but I did. So
what's the difference between karate and kickboxing?
Kickboxing's more aggressive.
Okay.
It's more explosive. It's more intense. So there's something within me that likes that. I don't know, the masculine energy I get. So I'm very feminine. I'm very much a female, but I am quite, I always grew up with the boys. I always climbed trees, running around the woods. So I spent a lot of time. I have a happy childhood. I have a lot of happy memories. So there were bits that were crap. But I spent a lot of time playing football. I never really liked football, but I would play football because it's what the boys did. And I think then when I became really insecure as a teenager, I got a bit fat. I was extremely unfit. I avoided everything. So it was that fear of failure. I'm not good enough. I just won't even do it. But then at 19, a little bit older, realizing if I want to do anything with my life, I'm going to have to get over that fear somehow. And luckily my boyfriend had begun and he is what you would call a natural kickboxer. He's 6'4". He did gymnastics when he was younger. So he walked in, he could kick people in the head. There was me. It took me a month before I could even throw a kick, let alone succeed at actually landing one. And hard working was the key to A, the academic at school, B, the work. So I minimum wage jobs, but I had savings because I worked hard. And then the becoming a fighter, I worked hard. I didn't optimize anything. I wouldn't have become a champion the way that I began. And it's the same in business. So that's my biggest lesson from that. I worked hard. Actually, you can be operating from a place of needing to do more constantly, and it's less effective because it creates that panic and that, I don't know, that lack mindset of I'm not good enough, when actually when you can optimize the processes and when you can change your beliefs, reframe your thinking, then you do less but achieve more. So how I became a champion was by actually doing less physically to allow better recovery, but in the training that I did do, optimize it, increase the intensity, then recover from it. Same with the mentality. It's terrifying fighting. Anxiety is natural. Anxiety pushes performance. But when it's keeping you awake at night, when it's stopping you from seeing your friends, it's not healthy. So it's getting that balance right of reducing it to a level where you can function optimally.
Lovely lesson. Right at the start of your kickboxing journey, there must have been times where you thought, you know what, is it worth it? There must have been, especially seeing your boyfriend, boyfriend kind of be able to, you know, fully do all the moves and kind of, and you, as you said, you struggled at the start, at which everybody when they're learning a new skill will struggle at one point in time. And I'm sure I remember somewhere that actually to get to a black belt or get to somewhere kind of high in the kind of the martial arts pyramid, you have to go through all these different stages. And did you find out right at the start? Did you get to a point where one day you just thought, you know, stuff that I need to get through this, otherwise it's not going to work?
I don't know. I think there is something within me that just doesn't give up. Okay. I think, and like, I don't know loads about psychology and sociology and how we become who we are. I do know quite a lot about it. And the more that I find out, the more I think that how tough my early upbringing was created that fighter within me, for want of a better word, in that you can't give up. This is survival. So I think I had, so like with my earliest memories being hungry and needing food and waking up in the night, and it's like, I need to survive, I need to fight. So our fight or flight instinct, which went out of balance because of trauma, hence the anxiety, and that needed regulating for my health. But it did create something in me that, although I would have the conscious thoughts, I would think, this is tough, why am I doing this? I don't enjoy this, I hate the training, I hate exercise. I've had all of those negative thoughts that everybody has. And I still say to this day, I don't actually enjoy exercise. That's why I kickbox, because it's a fun way to exercise. I like being fit, I like being healthy, but actually exercise is tough, it hurts. You've got to push through. No matter how fit you are, no matter how good you are, it's not enjoyable. When you're sprinting up a hill and your legs are burning and you can't breathe, I don't know, there's all the crazy CrossFitters that love it. I don't love exercise. I love improving. I love the discipline. I love and all of the areas that I love about fighting actually reflect into other areas of life. So a question that often comes up, and I'll answer it for you before you ask me, will I go back to fighting? I don't think I will, because the time and energy that it takes, and I don't actually think it's becoming a world champion fighter that I want to be. This might change in the future by the time, but I have joined Toastmasters. I think I want to become a champion speaker, because I like the competitiveness, I like the being judged, because some people say, you're good at speaking anyway. Do you need to be judged? Do you need to enter competitions? I was like, I was a black belt anyway. Did I need to become a champion? You don't need to, but there's that part of me that likes it, likes pushing to that level and pushing through those nerves. So I think I've always had it, answering your question. And I think I will continue to use it to push forward in business, in life. But now, more so than ever, I know the importance of prioritizing health alongside it. And I think fighting in the ring is a risk that I'm not willing to take, because it uses so much time and energy.
And I was going to mention, I was going to ask about this, because the transition between, you know, a non-fight or I don't know what the phrase is, but the transition between going from where you were to then getting in the ring for the first fight, how did that feel? And then what was the transition like between you actually kind of thinking, right, stuff it, let's really see how far I can take it, you might have already answered this, and I think you have through hard work, ethic, and your background. But you know, did you have an idea, or was it seeded by someone else?
I relied on the support of coaches. So my first fight was horrible, and I lost, and I came out of the ring, I fell into my boyfriend's arm, my legs, they hurt so much, that adrenaline dump as well. So I was pretty fit, but I wasn't prepared for the adrenaline. And I had this, you have to just go really hard and no strategy, no. So like that, almost like, I guess in the business version, it's like that when you start and you burn yourself out because you don't outsource anything, you don't manage your time. I did that, but in fighting. So I did that in 3 minutes instead of over 3 years or something. And I fell out and I was like, never again. Never again am I doing that. Never, ever, ever. He calmed me down. We went back to the gym and then we decided probably will do it again because I don't give up once I'd recover. And actually that club failed. So with regards to, was there anything that stopped me kickboxing? The club failed because, like I said, it was really tough. It was possibly too tough. They struggled to get members. And they did run karate alongside it. So I actually ended up doing karate. So I don't just have a thing against karate. I was a kickboxing green belt. So the belt syllabus, there are lots of belts. It's white, red, yellow, orange, green, blue, purple, brown, black. So I was about in that middle bit where I just started to learn how to kickbox. I was still pretty average. I wasn't great, but I knew how to throw a few punches and kicks. And taking nothing away from any green belts out there, keep going, you're fantastic. But you wouldn't have looked at me and thought, wow, she's a fantastic, she's going to be a champion. I was a green belt. I was someone who'd done a couple of years training and lost a fight. But I didn't enjoy karate. I tried it. The other thing that made it difficult was because I was a green belt, I got to keep my green belt and I couldn't keep up with the other green belts. So that was really demotivating. So out of respect, they were like, you get to keep your belt. So I had to do the higher level katas and I didn't know what I was doing and I just felt stupid. So I think that played a part in it too. Then I went traveling. So I quit my job. I took my savings. I split up with my boyfriend. I went to Southeast Asia. I got back with my boyfriend. I came home and I got a promotion. So that was good. That was one of my, I like that part of my life. I got to travel around eating food, partying on beaches. And then I came back and my life just got better and better because I found
Were you still practicing at that point?
No, I'd put on a bit of weight. Like, so using like, I use my weight as a judgment as well. I'd put on a bit of weight. Because I'd been traveling and I was like, I want to do something about this. And I realized that I really missed kickboxing too. It wasn't just weight based, but most people out there who want to start exercise, it's their weight usually that motivates them. And it's one of the benefits of kickboxing, one of the many. But so I found another club in the next town. And I'd heard good things about it. I'd met them at fight shows. My best friend, Sarah, one of my best friends, I knew that she ran a female-only kickboxing class. And I've never been a female-only kickboxer. I've been a female-only kickboxing coach for many years. But myself, I don't mind training with men. So I went along and then I got involved. I went from once or twice a week to five or six times a week. I took up boxing. Where I'd got the promotion at work, I'd become the front of house manager. So I decided that I'm no longer working 60-hour weeks. I will cut down to about 30, 35. I wrote the rotas, so I got to manage when I worked and when I didn't. So I did long shifts at the weekend to allow my training in the week. And I went from there. So I started in about June and by October I was fighting.
That sounds quick to me. That sounds quite quick.
It was, but it was a lower level fight. So when you see people in the ring with the music and the nightclub type big fights, that's full contact. That's for the knockout. That's 2 minute rounds. You start with light contact in sport halls. People don't generally see this, but it's how you begin. They're not fun. I haven't won any of them, so I really don't like them. But they're 1 minute rounds and there's no knockout allowed. It's called light contact, but I would say that it's more, I wouldn't say that it's the contact that's light. In a way, I would say that they're just more intense. So people think, oh, light contact, it's easier. It's actually more about doing more than your opponent, opposed to doing better than your opponent. Yeah. Whereas when you get to full contact, because there's the fear of the knockout, you have to be that bit more careful. You can't just fly at each other. And they always say women and children fight the worst in terms of they just fly at each other head on. Because we're lighter, smaller, faster, the amount of shots that are thrown, it's horrible. But it is what it is. And I like being small because I'm not as scared of being knocked out. But yeah, I started fighting quite quickly. But I, like I said, I was training 6 times a week. So I was really, really dedicated to it. And I decided when he said, do you want to fight? I said, why not? What have I got to lose? Let's go for it. Let's put this training to the test. And then from there, I did a few more fights and then finally went full contact. Had a loss, had a win, but, and it was, oh yeah, I also got diagnosed with an underactive thyroid when I got back. Just to add another story in there.
Just to throw that little bit in there, yeah. That's
another reason why I struggled with my weight, so, but that's not really relevant to what I do. It's managed, now it's medicated, but I do have an autoimmune disease on top of it all.
But again, that just shows your resilience and your kind of effort that actually, yeah, you have got this condition. Yeah. But it doesn't affect you, or it doesn't seem to outwardly affect it, and it didn't affect you winning the championships and those kind of things. You make it sound so easy and effortless. Like you said, you know, the 5 or 6 times a week in the gym, you know, and I'm kind of imagining those sessions were just, you know, on the exercise bike for a few minutes. Absolutely here and there, you know, I can't imagine that one bit. You know, the one thing that I love that you said is the losses. You learned from the losses. You know, you've had many losses. You've had a few wins. You've had a few losses. And can you remember the point where you thought, do you know what? Actually, I'm going to fight for the championship. Can you remember that point?
Absolutely. To start off with, I think the subconscious, the desire. So the key to how do I make it sound effortless and how do I know and how did I overcome it all? The key is belief, I think, an optimism, hope, whatever word you want to use, that it will get better. So I've been through, am I allowed to swear? I've been through some shit. So yeah. I've been through enough shit to know that this sucks. But it's that even, no matter what you're going through, as long as you have something within you that believes it will get better. And then you keep fighting for it. So all of the losses. And when I started to doubt it, so I had those moments of, do I really want to continue? And then it's no, if you, the next one, you can win. The next one, instead of thinking, oh, I'm just a loser. No, I am a winner and I will work to get there.
Yeah. So did you work harder after every fight to get to that stage?
Because you learn something from everything. Yes. And it's that, I don't really know how to describe it, but it's, every time you sort of think, oh, that's another loss, the next one will be the one. You have to go in with it. You don't think, oh, well, if I lose another one, I'll learn from that one too. You don't ever enter hoping to lose and learn. You have to enter wanting to win. Yeah. And then as soon as you lose, you have to learn to then reframe that. The same in business. If you're going to make a sale, you enter that wanting to sell your product. You don't think, well, if this sales call doesn't go very well, it doesn't really matter because at least I've made a connection and who knows. You go, I've got something I can offer this person. It benefits their life. And you know that. Same with the fighting. You know that you've trained as hard as you can. If you haven't trained as hard as you can, then that's on you. You should have done.
Yeah.
Same with if you're selling something in business and you're out to scam someone, that's on you. You're a bad person. But if you can enter and you know that you're at the best you can possibly be, you can give it everything. And then if you lose, you can say, okay, I did everything. Now I need to learn from that. I sound easy. There were times when I'd get punched in the face and I'd cry just because I was absolutely exhausted. I was emotional, hormonal probably too. And my coach was also tough. And they'd say, get back on with it. In the ring, what are you going to do? Get back on. And so it's having that, the team of coaches around me. So in business, we don't all have a business coach. And I know a lot of people don't see the benefit of it necessarily. But in sport, we always have a coach. There's a hierarchy in the martial arts syllabus, and in the fighting, you wouldn't be in that ring without a coach in your corner. So I've always had a coach in business too. And I think that's the thing that has saved my business, having a business coach. Because when I struggled with my health, when I was overwhelmed on the verge of burnout with the anxiety, I had a coach to break it down into the small steps that I needed to take to stop me from having to give up. Because if I run out of money, unlike fighting, fighting's a choice. With the business, I was at the point where I'm going to have to go get a job to earn money. But luckily, she sat me down and she went, no, this is how you can make money now. This is what you do now. And thankfully, everything's on track now and it's all going well.
Brilliant. And we need to have a further conversation, a much longer conversation, because I've got so many more questions. But I just want to quickly kind of throw in about your business and kind of talk a little bit about that, if that's okay. So what is your business? How do you help people?
I help them become champions at what they do. No, that's such a cliche sentence. I don't even know where that came from. My tagline is empowering wholehearted health, inspiring individuals and creating confidence. So everybody says you should have one niche and one thing that you do. My focus at the moment is community. It's based around my membership. So I run Fighting Fit Together. And as part of that, I run live kickboxing classes through Zoom to people all around the world. And so it's not just kickboxing, though. The kickboxing is the thing that brings people in. And I am an excellent kickboxing coach, if I do say myself. I'm a better coach than I am a fighter, even. And it's a fantastic way to get fit. It's fun as part of the community. And then alongside the training, we also do the more internal work, the personal development. I run a weekly coaching session, so a book club. We read a monthly focus book together. I also do kind of mindset and nutrition coaching too. So it's kind of, we do a different topic each month, and I can also throw in the hypnosis because I'm a hypnotherapist. So that's my focus, that community. And that's, mm-hmm. I'm growing that at the moment. So if people want to get involved, if you want to be coached by a champion, you know where I am. And then alongside that, I'm also a hypnotherapist. So I do a very small amount of one-to-one work, and I can do mm-hmm. the usual hypnotherapy. I can do stop smoking, but that's not my focus. More and more now I'm finding myself referring them to other people, because yep. I like to focus on people who suffer with performance anxiety, perhaps those people who know there's something holding them back from the next level, whether it be in sport, whether it be in public speaking, in business. And also the other thing that I like working with is people who struggle with food, eating, body image, because I know what that feels like too.
Do you know what? One thing I love about everything that you've said is that you'd love to help people in areas, or it seems that you'd love to help people in areas that you've previously kind of gone through yourself. So you're not just kind of one of these people who, yeah, I'm going to focus on this niche because it's going to give me maximum exposure, maximum awareness, maximum amount of money. You're helping, and this is kind of what it's coming across as, you're helping them because you've overcome it yourself and you want to help them overcome it.
Absolutely. I'm not in business for money. I'm in business. And you get a lot of people that say that, I just want impact. It's like, no, I do want money and I do want income and I need to live, and I will live a good life from the money that I earn because I'm good at what I do. But my motivation for what I do is to help people overcome what I have had to overcome. And the amount that I have had to overcome, I've learned a lot of lessons in my life. And combined with the fact, so I'm not just a coach who has experience, I do study, I do like to read the research, I have the black belts, I have the title belts, I'm a good kickboxing coach, I have nutrition, I have hypnotherapy, I have all of these things that help me help people, because mm-hmm. I like, and it all comes back to the, I love personal development. I love taking myself to the next level. And then I like to bring other people up with me. So like the black belt in the gym, I like to help people become black belts, help them become champions too.
Brilliant. 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 Now, as I say, we're going to get you on another show, and I'm going to make sure it's a longer show, because my mind's just buzzing. But we'll put all the details for your websites and your social media stuff in the show notes. just throw a few out there just for now, just to kind of highlight and direct people where to find you.
Well, Jessica Fleischer, which is quite difficult to spell, but you'll be able to read it wherever you're listening to this.
Yep.
On Facebook or LinkedIn, you're more than welcome to find me there. And my website, which has bits of everything. There's some free kickboxing. You can book in a call if you want hypnotherapy, alongside other things, is iamfightingfit.co.uk.
And it's lovely.
I forgot to say as well, as at the end of everything I do, if people want to book me to speak, if you want me on your podcast, if you want me at an event, especially if it's health and well-being related, charity related, I am looking to get booked as a public speaker too.
Brilliant. And do you know what, Toastmasters, beware. You know, once Jessica gets her sunk in her mind, she's going to run with it. You know, listen to this episode, watching this video, she will go for it. She will do the research. She will get better. She'll hone her craft. So Toastmasters, if you've got competitions coming up, mark my words, she's going to be there. She is going to be there. Before we finish off, I just want to kind of ask you your final thoughts. And this is your kind of one big thing, one thing you want to share with people to close this interview off. Jessica, what would it be?
Dream big. Dream big beyond what you could imagine right now that you feel that you can achieve. So mine is, I will speak on stages globally. I'm going to have a health and well-being retreat in Thailand. It's going to be amazing. At the moment I sit here, still in lockdown, probably by April, but in February, definitely. And I don't even know how I'm going to get there, but I can see it. So see that, set that goal, dream big, but start today, start small, take that action. Whatever it will be, the smallest possible action that you can take today, but do it. Make sure you start putting that work in now. The bit in the middle doesn't matter, and you can plan it out along the way as you improve, but dream big and start small.
What a way to finish the show. Thank you very much for your time today. Wow. Thank you very much. So thank you very much, everyone, for listening and watching today. Cheers, Jessica, for being on the show. As I said, for the third time, let's get you back on for a longer show. But this has been today's episode of The Grow Show. Thank you so much for watching and enjoying it. If you like this and you see value in it, and please share it with anybody that you think will help, which, God, I don't think there's a community or sector that it won't help. Take care, everyone, and I will see you all soon for the next episode of The Grow Show. Jessica, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Take care, folks. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to The Grow Show. With new shows available every week, if you know anyone else who could benefit from these powerful insights, please share this podcast with them. And don't forget to subscribe.